Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And I want to use this entire chapter, actually, last half of the chapter, to preach on the subject this morning, overcoming the fear of man. Overcoming the fear of man. When I get to the points here in a little while, each point given to you is pretty lengthy in the sense of you probably won't be able to write it down, those of you that normally take notes. I hope you'll just get the idea and take what maybe you've been battling with and let it help you from the Word of God this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for our time in church and what a blessing it is to be here. And as I talked to one of our ladies this morning who's got a dad who's ill and maybe leaving this earth before long, and she's stressed about it, and she's trying to help him, and she's emotionally stressed over it, and trying to be here and teach her class and work in bus church and do things, but she's got a load on her plate, and she's sad, but it's so wonderful to get to come to church and just forget about the week for a little while and get the refill that we need. And Lord, help us to know that as we get closer to the rapture, to the return of Christ, you said there's going to be a great falling away first. And people are going to beat up on us, but Lord, help us to remember, we preach Bible truth. We stand for truth. We need truth in our life, so that we can grow, so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be strengthened. Giving up's not an option. Quitting's not an option. Giving in's not an option. So help us to stay true. By that, Lord, help us to overcome the fear of man today. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. In our passage here in Matthew chapter number 10, Christ is alerting his disciples in that day, the apostles, those that were close to him, John and Peter and Thomas and people like that. He was alerting his disciples to the persecution that they soon would face. There in verse 17, he said to these men, "But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." Well, Christ is telling his apostles that he says, "I'm going back to heaven." He says, "You're going to face some great persecution." Of course, we get into the book of Acts, and it's the history of the early churches, and we actually see this persecution come to fruition. One example of that, I'm going to read to you out of Acts chapter number 5, where the Bible says this in Acts 5, 27, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council." Isn't that what he just told them in Matthew chapter 10? They set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Young people, you remember what we were just talking about in the youth department, how teenagers backslide, can recover from backsliding, but you got to decide you're going to take a stand for Christ no matter what anyone else thinks about it. And remember, Peter was the backslidden one. He recovered, and now he says, hey, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. This is the boldness of Peter speaking to this crowd. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. All right, Peter's preaching hard. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee. An unsaved man had more wisdom than most backslidden church members today. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He said, guys, can I talk to you for a minute? Let's put them in another room. And he said unto them, the council, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. By the way, just because you get more followers doesn't mean you're right. His followers, about 400, joined themselves to this guy, and they were slain. They started following the wrong crowd, and it killed them. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to nothing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him and his podcast. Drew much people away after him and his website and his cute outfit and all this stuff. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. Now Gamaliel wasn't saying he agreed with these men. He was just saying, guys, better back off. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Goes on to say, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Now most people, being beaten for the cause of Christ, would have quit right there. And they departed, the disciples departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, I love this, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They ceased not. These men did not let fear stop them from being faithful to God. You know, if you and I as Christians are going to be born again Christians and be growing in the Lord, you know, the truth is we're going to face criticism. We're going to face persecution. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 15. Turn to John chapter 15, and I'm going to read to you out of 1 Peter chapter number 4 for just a moment. But listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. He says, hey, we're not to live in the flesh just doing whatever feels good, whatever we think is right. We're to obey God in every area of our life. And he says the time past of our life, that was yesteryear. That was before we got saved. The time past of our life when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And this is what he says about the crowd that we used to run with. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. They think you've gone strange. They think something nuts has happened to you. They think, listen, if you don't blend in with us, sound like us, look like us, act like us, you're strange and you belong to a strange church. And it even says here, speaking evil of you. Good friends, weren't they? Good friends. John chapter 15, if you turn there, John chapter 15 says this, in John 15 and verse number 18, Jesus said, the world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. All right, so the Bible says if we live for the Lord, they're going to be folks that think we're weird. They think we're strange. They think we've joined a cult. Because we're living in a society today of this it's all about the love of God. It's all about salvation. Nothing more. Yeah. Nothing more. The Bible teaches nothing about holy living. The Bible teaches nothing about having some standards for your life and living the way God wants you to live. So if you fall in with that crowd, you're just going to be this peace, love, and joy crowd today, which, by the way, are some of the most hateful people. If you spend your time in nothing more than to wait and react to everyone who's actually trying to do something for God, well, there's real spiritual growth in that, isn't there? Now, it tells us in 2 Timothy 3 in verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Listen to what Paul says here. The Holy Spirit of God says this in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Did you see that? Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Now, wait a minute. I thought if we're in Christ Jesus, that's all that matters. We're in Christ. That's what some of these guys are saying now. We're in Christ. We can't do anything else. Now, then what is living godly? Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But the Bible says in verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's where we are today. Listen to what God says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Buddy, you better know who you're listening to. Better know who's teaching you. Better check out the page a little bit. You might want to see how carnal they are and who they're following and what they're saying. I know older adults right now are thinking, man, all this old online stuff's a mess. It is, but if we're going to save our young people and we're going to save our young adults, friend, listen to me. I believe this is part of that earnestly contending for the faith today because the devil is tugging and pulling. Oh, they'll call it control. Check the sources. Check where they are in life. Check who they follow. Check who they're mixing up with ecumenically. Friend, listen, the Bible tells us to be mindful of these things. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The simple truth is, if we're going to continue down a right path, we're going to have to overcome the fear of man. What will they say? What will they think? What will they do? Hey, let me say this kindly. Who cares? Who cares? Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. Hey, let them talk. Let them type. Let them type away. These guys today that want to correct the local church, they're so biblical and they've got all the truth. The Bible says if you've got an issue with somebody, you take it straight to them. I called a man 24 hours ago and said, let's talk. The Bible says, let's talk. Hadn't called yet. It's easy to type. It's easy to criticize. It's easy to sit like a little keyboard coward and react to everything everyone else is doing. Man up and follow the Bible. We ought to obey God rather than man. Let them talk. Let them type. Let them question. Let them criticize. Let them mock. Let them make up stuff. Hey, my responsibility is to fear God and keep His commandments, not to fear man. Strangers will continue to critique us. They'll continue to mock us. Look at it there in chapter 10 and verse number 22. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. The disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. I realize who he's talking to here, the Jews, and I realize some of it's end time stuff. It applied in that day. All prophecy is primary and secondary. All prophecy meant something then, and it means something in the future. And I realize all scripture has one interpretation, but it has many applications. And this is the same truth we see over in John. The disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. If it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, the devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore. Hey, strangers are going to critique us and mock us. Can I say also to you that family at times will question us and tell us how silly we are, how crazy we are, how crazy our church is. Why would you have those rules for your kid? Why won't you let your kid do this? We go to church too. Are you better than us? No. You realize a lot of standards in our life, they're not there because the Bible says thou shalt and thou shalt not. They're there for protection. They're just to keep. Why do we have to ride the fence line? And why do we want to blend in and be so much like the world? He says in verse 34, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I'm come not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, wait a minute. Is God a double-minded creator? No, he's not. So the God that says, honor thy father and thy mother, is he saying here now you're going to have a hate relationship with them? No, he's not. What he's saying is if you live for God, there's going to be even family that disagrees with the way you live and the way you raise your family, and you live at that church and this and that and the other. And God says, you just keep your eyes on me. You love me more than anyone else. We must learn to fear God more than fearing man. Look at verse 28. The Lord said, fear not them which kill the body. You know what he's saying there? You know the worst thing they could do to you is kill you? And you do realize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, right? Amen. You realize if we didn't wake up when we went to bed tonight and we didn't wake up in the morning, we would already be awake. We'd be alive forevermore in a place called heaven. So the Lord says, guys, listen, don't worry about that crowd. What are they going to say something? Are they going to be ugly to you? Are they going to be mean to you? Are they going to type something about you? He says, don't worry about that crowd. The worst they can do is kill you. Fear them not which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's talking about fearing God, the fear of God. So we must learn to fear God more than fearing man. Let me read you a few verses here. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Hey, look up here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let them gather around. They that be with us are far more than they that be with them. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The psalmist there said, David said, they may encamp about me. They war against me. I'm just going to keep my eyes on Christ and I'm going to seek after him. And the psalmist said, I'm going to be the one that winds up with joy in my life. Listen to what another psalm says in Psalm 118 and in verse number 1. This is good. Listen. The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Hey, why is it so important that we overcome this fear of man? Why are we so worried about what everybody else thinks? Turn to Proverbs chapter 29, please. Proverbs chapter number 29. It's one verse, but you just can't miss it. Proverbs chapter number 29. Why is it so important that we overcome the fear of man? Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 25. The Bible says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know what a snare is? It's a trap. It's a hindrance. A snare will keep you from moving forward. A snare will keep you from doing what you know you need to do. The fear of man bringeth the snare. Let me give you a few examples here. The fear of man keeps people from being saved. Man, I know I need what he's talking about. I know it, but how am I going to tell my wife? I know he needs what, but how am I going to tell my husband? How am I going to tell my parents? I know I need the truth that preacher's preaching, but I mean, I was brought up Catholic. How am I going to tell my family? I know I need the truth, but what am I going to tell my friends? And what if my coworkers find out that I'm some Bible thumper? The fear of man keeps people from being saved. I want to say also the fear of man keeps people from obeying God. God speaks to your heart. You know what God wants you to do, but it's like, well, you know, but what are they going to think? Who cares? I want to say also the fear of man keeps people from honoring God in every area of their life. Every area. When is the last time you fully surrendered yourself to the Lord? Say, Lord, everything about me, God, I want it to be right with you. I want it to honor you. I don't want it to honor the flesh. I don't want to blend in with the world, but you know what? The fear of man keeps people from honoring God in every area of their life, their dress, the places they go and won't go and whatever, because I don't want to stand out. I don't want people to think I'm different. It's the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And can I say also the fear of man keeps people from witnessing for Christ? Well, what will they say? I don't know. They're lost. They could say anything, but I tell you what, we have the truth and we need to say it. The fear of man keeps people from witnessing for Christ. And then also the fear of man keeps people from earnestly contending for the faith. Well, you know, we ought to all just kind of, you know, we're all going the same place. No, we're not. Right. Well, you know, there's one God and everybody believes in God. No, they don't. Right. They don't all believe in Jehovah God. And by the way, there's so much tradition, so much misinformation, so much false doctrine out there today, that people that think they know what they believe don't even know what the Bible really teaches. The fear of man will keep us from earnestly contending for the faith. But God said this. He said, we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So how do we overcome the fear of man so that we can move forward and honor God in every area of our life? How do we overcome the fear of man? I remember when I first started pastoring, and I told our church, I never had a honeymoon, never. I watched pastors go to church and like, man, it's great, you know, 2 years worth of this is great. I never had a honeymoon. This church was in trouble when I started, and it just somehow I helped it to have more trouble. But we did for a couple of years there back 20 years ago now. Anyhow, some people had left the church when my dad was here and in the transition and whatever. And so I'm knocking doors the other day here in our town. And it used to be the first few years, if I knew someone lived there, I wouldn't even knock on the doors. I thought they're angry at me or Trinity or the world. I'm just not even going to mess with it. You know what? Now I'll go to every door. You know why? Because I'm thinking if you live in bitterness and anger and hold on to, most of the time it's the smallest of stuff for 20 years of your life, you're not bringing me down to that level. I'm going to knock on your door. I'm going to say hi. I'm going to ask how you're doing. I'm going to ask what's going on in your life. And I'm genuinely going to pray for you if you want me to pray for you. Hey, listen, we've got to quit worrying about the fear of man. Let me give you several thoughts quickly here. Again, these are the ones you probably won't have time to write down. Probably too much said in the sentence. But let's look at it in Matthew chapter number 10, how to overcome the fear of man. And really the idea is not that all of these, I need all these, but it's just one or two. You go, that's me right there. That's where I lose the battle right there. All right? How to overcome the fear of man out of Matthew chapter number 10. Number one is this, just stay away from the hateful crowd. Just stay away from the hateful crowd. Why mix in with that crowd? There are people I'm friends with online, but I don't follow them. I don't even know what they say until someone else sends it to me. I don't even know. By the way, just in case anybody's watching, I mean, when you do say stuff, and again, this half of this stuff's just silly, but when you do say stuff, it does get back around. It does get back around. People are always going to find out the negative that's said. But you know the best way to just overcome the fear of man is stay away from the hateful crowd, period. I think he said that in verse 23. I think you can make that application. When they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. Just get away from them. Why? If you're always having to tell people, well, you know, you'll say what you want, just get away from that crowd that's going to be ugly to you. Why even worry about them? Why are we so worried about who we impress online? That doesn't even make sense. Let's rejoice. Let's make a statement. Let's stand for truth. Let's show pictures of the babies and the grandkids every 2 seconds. And let's do that. But if you've got people in your life that are just mean and hateful and it's nothing but negative, hey, cancel them, block them, quit going to the family get together. Whatever it takes, get those type of people out of your life. Why put yourself in that position? Just stay away from the hateful crowd. Number two is this. People don't like this kind of preaching, but it's in the Bible. Now, I'm sticking with Matthew 10 right now. We could go all over the place. Number two is this. Realize that their time of judgment is coming, and your time of judgment is coming. So am I going to give up truth? Am I going to give up doing right because some clown over here wants to be a walking commentary and try to tell everybody, hey, dummy, if it took you 30 years to figure out, I wouldn't brag about it. But am I gonna say, well, but everybody else is going in that direction, and everyone else is going over here. Hey, you know, whatever. Whatever they choose to do, that's between them and God. Their time of judgment's coming. But my time to stand before the Lord, the judgment seat's coming too. And I need to be found faithful. Look at verse 26. He said, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. We don't have to respond to everything. We don't have to respond to everyone. We don't have to do it, because guess what? Truth's coming out one day. Usually it just comes out in this lifetime. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. Not realize their time of judgment's coming. Quit being scared of people. Their time's coming, but also ours is too. So let's stay faithful to the Lord. Number three is this. Number three is understand that God has a purpose for your life that must not be hindered by the fear of man. God has a purpose for your life that must not be hindered by the fear of man. Would you like to be burning in hell one day and say, you know what? Be in torments and say, I can't believe, because the fellow in hell there in Luke 16, Abraham said to him, son, remember. So I guess you keep your memory in hell. Would you like to remember that you were under conviction, knew you needed to be saved, but you're worried about what the person sitting next to you thought, and you have to burn in hell forever because of that? Understand, God has a purpose for your life that must not be hindered by the fear of man. Hey, I know God's calling me to preach, but I don't know what my friends will say. I don't know what my parents will say. You cannot let fear cause you not to do what God wants you to do. in your life. He says in verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Preach if it's God's call to preach. Go be a doctor if it's God's call to be a doctor. Be a fireman, be a policeman, be a dentist, be a nurse. Do whatever God wants you to do, but don't govern your life based on what everybody around you thinks. One person we stand before our master, and that's the Lord, and that's not anyone else around us. Preachers preach the word of God. They preach truth. It's up to you to apply it to your life and decide how you're going to live your life. Little cowards are the ones who say, well, my church does this and my church does that and my church and my church. Why don't you just say, you know what? This is what I do in my life. This is how I live my life. Understand that God has a purpose for your life that must not be hindered by the fear of man. Number four is this. We're talking about how do I overcome this fear about the preacher? I worry so much about what everybody else thinks. Quit. Don't quit, but quit worrying about what everyone else thinks. Number four is this. Remember, there is a hell. And if someone doesn't take a stand for Christ, many someones will burn in hell forever. Remember, there's a hell. And if someone doesn't take a stand for Christ, many someones will burn in hell forever. The verse 28 says that, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Folks, listen, compromise is not the key to connecting with the lost. You see it everywhere today. It's all over online from people who leave our types of churches. It's everywhere. I don't care how long, how much of a documentary they write. It doesn't matter to me. Compromise is compromise. Compromise is not meeting in the middle. I don't care what dictionary you use. I get it if you're talking about the Republicans and the Democrats. Let's meet in the middle. We are not supposed to compromise truth. We're not supposed to compromise holy living. We don't meet in the middle and look like the world and act like the world in order to win the world to Christ. We stand up and stand out. Ye are the light of the world. We make the difference. Number five is this. How do I overcome the fear of man? Number five is this. Take heart in the fact that your Heavenly Father is always watching over you. Your Heavenly Father is always watching over you. You know, when my kids are around me or my wife's around me, they don't have to be fearful because I'm going to make sure they're taken care of. People attack me, that comes with a position. By the way, that's not just pastor, that's leadership anywhere, business or anywhere. You could be attacked, that's just part of it. I'll just tell you right now, don't mess with my family. I can be biblical, but I also am a man who can get in the flesh. But the truth of the matter is, we have to take heart in the fact Heavenly Father is always watching over us. I'm not going to do anything in my human power. I'm not going to allow my daughter, my son, or my wife to be hurt. I'm always going to try the best I can to take care of them. Do you think God loves us less than our natural parents love us? Hey, take courage. Take courage, Christian. Take courage, young person. Take a stand for Christ. Don't worry about what somebody over here says. Don't worry about the crowd that sits with their popcorn bowl and remote control and watches everybody else do something for God and then sit back and criticize everything everyone else does. I have no fear of that type of person. I'm going to fear God and I'm going to keep His commandments. And I'm going to take to heart the fact my Heavenly Father is watching over me. Look at verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Could you imagine that? You know how many birds there are in the world today? I don't. I'm just wondering. How many birds there are? I can tell you there's one less dove. He got in front of my truck. I didn't do it, but he got in front of my truck yesterday. The Bible says not one of them falls to the ground that God doesn't know it. Notice verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Glad some of you are saving God time on that one. Verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Isn't that wonderful? You mean something to God. You say, I don't feel like anybody cares. God cares. I don't feel like anybody notices. God notices. Young people, God notices. He knows what's on your heart. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your needs are. I promise you. He wants to help you. Take heart in the fact that your Heavenly Father is always watching over you. Next one is this. How to overcome the fear of man. Number six is this. God expects us to own up to who we are and to what we believe. God expects us to own up to who we are and to what we believe. Look at verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Hey, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. If it's right, it's still right. It's always right. If it's wrong, it's always wrong. If the Bible calls it sin no matter if society accepts it or not. You're going to have to overcome the fear of man if you're going to take stands and say this is right and this is wrong. God expects us to own up to who we are, to what we believe. Number seven is this. I'm just about done. Please don't miss this one. Peace with the world is not our motive. A love for Christ is. Peace with the world is not our motive. A love for Christ is. Well, they're feisty and they're fighting and they're this and they're that. And I realize that we can be ugly. I realize anybody can be ugly from time to time. But this whole idea of it's all about just peace, love, and joy and we ought to all just get along, that is contrary to what the Bible says. Amen. Peace with the world is not our motive. A love for Christ is. Look at verse 34. Jesus said this, think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter against her mother and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. There's nothing that says we're going to be protected as born-again Christians, that we're going to be protected somehow from our own family criticizing us. All right, so peace with the world is not our motive. Do we want peace? Yes. God says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Sometimes it's not possible. But what we don't do is we do not compromise truth in order to live at peace. We can't. We can't do that and honor God at the same time. Number eight is this. Our love for Christ must supersede any other relationship. We're talking about the fear of man. We're talking about, well, I'm not going to do it because I don't know what they would think. Wait a minute. Our love for Christ must supersede any other relationship. Verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Number nine is this. And boy, there are a lot of people missing this today. I mean, completely missing this. But don't miss it. How are we going to overcome the fear of men? Number nine. Always remember, the Christian life is a cross, not an easy chair. The Christian life is a cross, not an easy chair. Look at verse 38. And he that taketh not his keyboard. It's not what it says, is it? And he that taketh not his cell phone, and he that taketh not his recliner, he that taketh not his cross. Do we need to be reminded of what Christ went through on the cross? There's a reason he used that term. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. The Christian life's a joyous thing. It's a blessed thing. Man, I was watching my daughter play the piano, my son up here singing that bass. I don't have any bass in me. But to see that and see Brother Trent, see Miss Kylie, man, it's a blessed thing. It's a blessed life. So people think, well, man, if you're not smiling all the time like a stinking donkey, you don't have joy like we do. You don't have the same dental records I do. Dentist told me years ago, don't ever smile again. We fixed you. But the Christian life is a happy life. But this whole thing about, oh, we have love, joy, peace, it's all good. We figured it out. We're glowing. And we're not doing a thing for God. And all we're doing is beating up on local churches. Something about that's not right. Take up your hat and walk away. Take up your keyboard and unplug it and walk away. Go do what you need to do. I'm just trying to tell you as a church family, don't let the fear of man bother you. I didn't lose 1 ounce of sleep this week. Not 1 ounce of sleep of whether somebody liked a comment, didn't like a comment, liked my message last week, didn't like my message, not one. Guess what? I just got on my pillow and I just went to sleep. Always remember the Christian life is a cross, not an easy chair. Last one is this. How are we going to overcome the fear of man? We're going to realize there is great reward, both in this life and in the life to come, for those that boldly and courageously stand out and stand up for Jesus. Realize there is great reward, both in this life. I was sitting there a minute ago watching my kids, my son and my daughter, and I'm thinking, man, I'm a blessed guy. Man, I'm so glad that over the years when there have been tough times or battles or enemies or whatever, I'm so glad I didn't quit. I'm so glad I didn't run and cut and run. I'm so glad. And I look at these other young people who were little bit kids. They've grown up now, and one is married with a kid, and the other's getting married here in a few months. And I'm thinking, man, that's the blessings of God. Blessings of God are not in a checking account. The blessings of God are not in your vehicle. The blessings of God are not in a house. The blessings of God are just seeing people that want to live for God and move forward and honor God with their life. And I want you to do that as a Christian. I want you to do it as a teenager and as an adult. But you have to overcome the fear of man. You have to overcome the fear of man. Just remember, there's great reward both in this life. And by the way, God does say, I'll reward you in this life. Houses, lands, whatever. I don't know. Pray and see what God does in your life. But he does say, I'll reward you in this life and in the life to come. Look at verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You just saw these kids up here. And most were happy to be here. Some were mad. They wanted you to know it. Our bus workers go out. Man, they work hard. Their own time visiting and trying to get people to ride the bus. I saw Miss Sherry walk in this morning with a bunch of ice cream. And I guess these kids are getting little cups of Bluebell ice cream for singing in here. I nearly joined the choir myself when I saw it was Bluebell. And the Bible just said, just a cup of cold water. Just be a blessing to someone else. You will not lose your reward. So I say to you, just stay in your Bible. Learn the Bible. Learn the Word of God. I mean, get a Bible. Not just your phone. Get a Bible. Don't just depend upon your tablet. Hey, get a Bible. And stay in the Bible and learn the Bible. And what you'll find is first, if you need salvation, God will work on your heart about salvation. He'll work on your heart about baptism. Next thing you know, you're growing. You're a new Christian, and God begins to work on your heart. You know, I don't know if all those songs are right for me to be listening to. You know, that those movies, I don't know if that's right. You know, I'm looking in the mirror, and I just, there's something about, by the way, the Bible tells us we have no need for any man to teach us. We have an unction. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. Preachers are there to proclaim truth. Preachers are there to lay out the way we ought to live. But friend, at the end of the day, you cannot discount what the Holy Spirit of God does in our heart. And listen, when God is working on your heart, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't quench the Holy Spirit of God. Don't pour water on what God is trying to do. Don't let the fear of man cause you to be unfaithful to God. Just say, you know what? This is it. From here on out, if God said it, that settles it. If it's what God wants, that's what I'm going to do in my life. Is there somebody lately that's been kind of holding you back? Maybe it's online. Maybe it's in the family. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at school. And it's just like, man, you'll come to church. You'll say, yeah, right on. And you get to the front of that person. You say, what'd you learn at church today? What'd you make any decisions? That's the fear of man. That's the fear of man. All right? Let's not fear what man can do unto us. Let's have a fear of God. Let's have a love for God and respect for God, because he's the one that's going to watch over us. He's the one that's going to bless us. He's the one that's going to guide us. And being faithful to God is the good life. Don't get sidetracked by all these other folks.